The Alpha Sessions.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Alpha Sessions. I'm Lucy Rowe. Today we have Erica Jean.
Hello.
Welcome, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good. Glad to have you here. You played three great songs for us and we've got a lot to talk about. I've been reading up on you. I always like to have a little read up on the history. And I'm particularly interested in your upcoming single, mm-hmm. coming out at the end of April, Chip Pink Fingernails.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to jump straight in and I'm going to ask you how that song came about and are you excited? Do you know what? Yeah, are you excited?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Because this is your debut.
Mm-hmm. And you know when you're like, it's not really real yet, and then it's real.
Yeah.
And then I clicked the button to actually distribute it, and I was like, whoa, it's gone.
That's the moment, isn't it?
When yeah.
Because you load everything up. Are you one of those people that looks back at all of the details, and you're just like constantly checking if you put everything in right?
Yeah.
And even when you press the button and you commit, you think, no, something's definitely wrong.
Yeah, and I'm like, have I done it right? Have I ticked a box? It's like, maybe it's not going to go to one of the things. But yeah, then I was like, it's gone. Anything that I've done is too late.
But you can always go back. You can always,
yeah.
edit. But yeah, it's an exciting thing doing a debut. What made this song the one to be the first release for you?
I think it was mostly because it feels like such an Erica song. And I wanted that to come across in the single as well. So I've got like really weird elements to it. Like I've got these bees that buzz in your ears. And I was like, I just want it to feel like people would listen to it and go, you know, Erica definitely made that. And yeah. Yeah, so it's just like, if it's your first song, I feel like it should be about what you are and who you are as a person. Yeah. And if that's weird and silly, then that should come across in your song. And just being like, here I am, you know, is anyone else like this in the world?
Mm.
And then just come together, because that's what really music's about. It's just finding your people.
Your community.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that how you describe the Erica Jean sound? How would you describe it? Bubbly?
Well, yeah, bubbly. And also, I had this at one of the gigs. This woman watched me and she was like, Erica, I love your songs because they all sound different, but they all have your personality in them. And I was like, oh, that's perfectly described. I was like, so now I just call it personality music. It's just Erica in each song. And I just try and get that across as like,
yeah,
just the quirk.
I read somewhere something about glittery pop.
Yeah.
Something. Is that a phrase you coined? Or is that something
Yeah,
someone
said there's something I was like, I want glitter in my life and I'm going to put it into my songs.
You're wearing glitter today.
I am. Well. I love glitter on my eyes.
Yeah. And we're pink. We're very pink. And the song is pink. We were talking about this earlier. Is this the whole theme? Do you know what? Your social media is very pink in
it
general.
Yeah.
Is that due to pink fingernails or is that just because of...
Yeah, it's well, I wear pink all the time. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to carry it on my socials.
Mm.
So I just make everything pink. My branding's pink. And then all my posters, I make everything pink. My website's pink. I was like, why not? There's not too much pink in the world.
Yeah,
so.
True.
Yeah.
True. Would you say there's also not enough happy music in the world?
Oh, 100%.
Is that something you kind of strive... You're trying to fill the world with a bit more...
glitter
upbeat,
and pink.
A bit
yeah.
more glitter.
Yeah, because I don't know why people write sad songs. I'm like, we all feel sad sometimes, but if we only write sad songs, then we'll never be happy. So I was like, I need to be the one that makes everyone feel happy and make them smile. And yeah, so at a gig the other week, this venue was like, I've never seen so many people in the crowd smile.
Mm.
And I was like, that's so beautiful. You know, to be that person that brings the joy into the songs and just having that energy. So yeah, in each of my songs, even if it's about a sad thing, like Chip Pink Fingernails is actually about a really sad day and it's about everything going wrong in your life. And like the first lyric I wrote was I missed the train, but it used to say, well, the tears fall down my cheeks. And then I was like, nah, I can switch this around. And then I just wrote about everything that went wrong in my life and then just being like, it's okay, that's just what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I just call it like the Bridget Jones effect, where you know, it's like maybe everyone has this and we just don't really talk about it, so
yeah.
We're all just a bit weird and do stuff in our lives. It's like, why on earth?
The optimist.
Mm-hmm.
The glass half full.
Yeah, definitely.
So in terms of, tell me more about Chip Pink Fingernails in the writing process.
Mm.
So you started with that lyric.
Yeah.
How do you create something with this in mind? How did you create this one?
I think I just wrote a list of all of the things that I felt that like went wrong. So I'd write like, oh yeah, my lasagna story down. And then I'd write like a list of bullet points and I'd be like, that's what I want to talk about, I think. That's, like, my main focus. And then I went across and made verses, and then I found, like, the hook. And actually, I wrote it in 2022, and then I was, like, I finished it, and I was, like, I recorded it on my voice notes. So I was like, nah, don't like it anymore. You know, and you've got to the point where you're like, you finish writing it and you're like, it was good for a minute. Now I've ended it. And then I got the hook stuck in my head a year later. And I was like, let me just go and revisit that song for a minute. And then I went back, found the chords again. And then I was like, I like this song. This feels like the right moment.
It's one of those songs that doesn't go away. Like, it's always in the background.
Yeah.
And you keep it in there. Does that happen to you a lot? Do you often keep things, or do you move on?
Oh, I'm such a hoarder. Uh-huh. It's awful.
I've got a good thing.
Yeah. It's so I write probably like a song or two a day, and I've just got a whole list in my notes of, I've got like a songs section where I just put all my lyrics, and then I've got voice notes with like all my unfinished ideas or like songs, and then I'll come back to them and be like, I feel like that's the same vibe as today, you know, and you're like, yeah, I feel like that is a funny moment. I've got another funny moment to add to that. I can make that into something.
Yeah,
and just keep that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some people find it hard, I think, to come back to things because you change, you just develop as a person, and then you don't relate to it anymore. But I suppose, do you find that you keep memories rather than very specific notes, they're more like feelings that you have that recur.
Yeah.
And you can go back to them, revisit them.
It is like that feeling of that day. And then as soon as you have that like deja vu moment in a way, isn't it? You're like, I swear I felt this when I was writing one of these other songs. But yeah, in the other ways, then you just like, sometimes there's so many songs and I wish I could release all of them and play all of them at once. But you're like, maybe playing 200 songs at a gig isn't the best idea. Conversations sound better in my head, and my outfit looks better laid on my bed. My makeup never seems to look quite right, but it's okay for the night. Things in life, they never go to plan, and I could cry about the things I couldn't do, 'cause a path of life had different plans. But there's so many things that wouldn't have happened if the clock hadn't changed its hands. So I dance all night till my feet are numb, and I sing to the music till my voice is gone, 'cause this is the moment life decided to trail. So I smile until my cheeks are burning, and I love the way the world is turning. So I wave around my hands and my chipped pink fingernails. La da da da. Train while the rain poured down around me, and on my first day of school, spilt the sand down me, and somehow my trousers captured a bee, 'cause things in life, they never go to plan. Yeah, so I dance all night till my feet are numb, and I sing to the music till my voice is gone, 'cause this is the moment life decided to trail. So I smile until cheeks are burning, and I love the way the world is turning. So I wave around my hands and my chipped pink fingernails. La da 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 da, la da 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 da. Chipped pink fingernails. La da 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 da, la da 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 da. Chipped pink fingernails.
The Alpha Sessions.
You've only just moved to London. We were talking about this earlier in September.
Mm-hmm.
So where were you originally? Where
did I was grow up? From the Midlands. So, I grew up like playing around, busking. And then I moved to Birmingham for college. And then I've just moved to London for uni. So it's like nice little steps, you know.
Yeah.
I'm glad I was in Birmingham for 2 years before London, because I think it would have been a really big move from like the Midlands, that countryside, to just like bam in London. But yeah, it's really fun. I like London. It's similar to Birmingham in a way. Mm-hmm. It's got like the same diversity, the same, like music is kind of the same as well.
Yeah.
It's very like, you can find your niche really easily in a big city, I feel like, you know.
Yeah, you can either get kind of swallowed up because there's so much on offer, or you sort of dig your claws in and get as much as you can. But in terms of the Midlands music scene, how much of that is up there? Because is that the reason you moved out of the Midlands? Because you just needed more from music? Or did you find that you, growing up, you were surrounded by music all the time?
I don't know. I think it's a hard one because I still love the Midlands and I still go back there a lot to play music. But I just think I needed to explore London just to see what's out there. And I think there's definitely a lot more industry and a lot more opportunities here. Like, ever since I've moved down here, I'm so much more busy and there's so much more people to meet and so much more musicians. Like, in the Midlands, you can be like, oh, are you from the Midlands? Do you know this person, this person, this person? And the answer is always yes. Whereas in London, you don't know everyone. And I think that's the beauty of it, is you meet so many people every day. And, you know, every gig you meet another artist and you're like, I don't know you and I've never met you, but then I've got still got mutuals, so there's still a connection. It's a lot smaller, actually, than I thought. I thought when I moved to London, I'd never meet the same person twice, but you end up bumping into them on the tube still, so that's good.
Yeah, true, especially on the Musicians Network, and like the Alpha Sessions Network as well, there's a lot of musicians who do know each other from busking, particularly, and like the London busking circuit is so busy, so bustling, but you're part of that now as well, aren't you? How are you finding the London busking?
It's definitely a lot different to Midlands, to be fair, with the London buskers. People in London are so busy, but I really like busking in Marble Arch because they've got all the benches there. So
I didn't know they did busking in Marble Arch.
Yeah.
I've never seen them.
There's a little spot there. Oh. That's mine. I shouldn't be leaking it. Yeah. It's mine.
Let's cut that out.
Yeah. But no, it's really nice because they have loads of benches there, so it feels like kind of like a gig atmosphere, and people fill it, and I'm like, sold out gig. Let's go, guys. And there's probably like 8 or 10 benches on either side, to be fair. So, and it's nice space. But yeah, I've not ventured into central busking because I found out that people queue at like 9 a.m.
There's a slot on Leicester Square that I always, if I walk by, you can see people just sitting with their instruments all day long. They just wait there for like an hour slot and then they move on. But I suppose it is because they're buzzing. There's hundreds of people passing every minute.
Yeah.
But in terms of busking in Birmingham, did you do a lot of that when you were up there for college? And is that more similar than it is in the Midlands, I'm assuming?
Yeah, Birmingham is quite similar, like where it's quite busy.
But do you get more people stopping, listening?
Yeah, you get more. You can like form a crowd more easily in Birmingham because I think it's more rare as well for busking. Whereas in London, I think there's definitely more buskers. Like Birmingham as well, I think they were trying to cancel busking at one point.
How can you completely cancel busking?
I know. They were like, nah, it's too much noise. So, I don't know. But yeah, so it's still quite new to the Midlands. Like, they're still a bit like, do we or don't we busk? But yeah, in London, it's a lot more busy. But then, I don't know, because people in Birmingham are a lot kinder. Like, people give me Greg sausage rolls and stuff all the time.
I heard this. I saw you were talking on Five Live.
Yeah.
And they were talking about sausage rolls.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I think it was in a caption or something. And I was like, what is this about? And I had to delve in. How did you get into that as well, Five Live?
They found me through introducing, I think, because they knew that I was a busker. So they wanted to talk about like whether busking should or shouldn't be a thing.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, yeah, it should be a thing. I'll talk about it with you.
Yeah.
And we had Keep Streets Live as well, which is a great connection in Birmingham. They're a great platform, which will talk about buskers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was a really fun like discussion and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I even got a free electric guitar once, which was really sick.
What?
Yeah.
In just by a passerby? You just leave it there?
This guy was like, I'm moving and I've got like 6 guitars and I need to get rid of them by next week. And he was like, do you want one? I was like,
Imagine saying no. No, no thanks. That's kind, but no.
He was like, I don't have it with me. I've got to go, like, you've got to come to my flat. So I was like, I'm going to get my dad to do that, obviously. And he came back and I was like, this can't be real. Yeah, free guitar.
Wow. And you still have that now?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a story one day. And they'll pop up.
Yeah.
It'll be a moment. Okay, moving on to more radio stuff. So you've done introducing and you've been performing. Is this your first kind of independent radio? Do you do mainly BBC?
Think it is. I think it's definitely my first live performance on radio as well, which is
really
cool. Yeah.
Debut.
Yeah.
We love an exclusive. Did you not do an introducing session? They do those sometimes.
No, I haven't done one yet. Yeah, just chat. They love me for the chatter.
I feel like we're losing introducing, though. We're losing a lot of community radio. As well as busking, it seems like everything's being pushed gently out for this certain level of independent musicians.
Yeah.
It's just being sort of pushed down. But I guess London is good for that as well. Do you find there's more opportunities in just the busking's more accepted? And the radio's bigger and
I don't know. I think I've only been here since September, so it's hard to, like, you know, really compare the two yet. But I think, I don't know, I think there's definitely a more... But then, I don't know, because back in the Midlands, there's also a lot of independent scenes. And a lot of people want independent music in the Midlands, I feel like, you know, because there's so much independent music there. Because in London, you've got obviously like the O2s and the big stadiums. So maybe people go to bigger concerts in London. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But in the Midlands, we've only got like the O2s, and even the O2s are like mostly the indie or like Academies. The semi-mainstream artists that go on tour, but we don't have like Ed Sheeran. I don't think Ed Sheeran's ever touched like foot in. Well, to be fair, he did actually. He was like around from the Midlands, so big up the Midlands.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah,
big up Ed Sheeran. Shout out. But I mean, there's not a lack of opportunities. Yeah. It seems from the Midlands because you've done so much. And I mean, that's not to say that you haven't gone out and got it. But I saw things about Tom O'Dell singing in his choir.
Yeah.
And supporting. You supported some good artists. Touring as well. So how did you come about starting with Tom O'Dell? How did that begin?
That was through my London uni, actually. So my friend in my class was like, I've got this opportunity to sing with Tom O'Dell. Do you want to do it? And I was like, are you joking me? Yeah. And so he was part of like a choir when he was in his high school, I think. Yeah. So then he then asked me, he was like, we need more vocalists for like female vocalists. And I was like, yeah, I'd so be down. So we learnt the songs, and it was before the songs had come out, which is so weird. I think Black Friday had just come out, but it was still quite new. I think it had been out like 2 weeks. And then we had to listen to it and learn like the different parts. And actually I learnt the alto part, and then the day of, like an hour before, they were like, actually we need one more soprano. And no one else put their hand up apart from me. So I was like, oh, I thought this was going to be a communal thing. So I was like, okay, guess I'm learning the parts. So I had to relearn the two songs again with a different arrangement. And I had an hour, and it was so much stress. And then they put me front row because I'm a small girl. And I was standing right next to Tom O'Dell.
Wow.
And I was there like, okay, breathe, okay, it's totally fine. Yeah. You've totally got this. And he was the most nicest guy, actually.
I hoped he would be, because he seems really sweet.
Yeah, and he was so lovely. And he shook everyone's hand before we sang with him. And he was like, I really want to get to know you all. Like, thank you. You're so much as your stage as it is so much my stage. And he was just the humblest guy. And I was like, this is the most perfect day. And they gave us croissants and, like, lunch.
Well,
and
you can't beat that. Yeah. You get a free croissant.
I was like, food is always... Yeah. So, but yeah, it was really weird as well, because I chatted to him and said, it's like a full circle moment, because the first ever performance that I did was the same festival as Tom O'Dell. So it was back in 2019, and it was at the Big Feastival, and I did like a Big Feastival's Got Talent, and I was playing on like a indie stage to like win. I think it was called Big Feastival's Got Talent. And I was there with my little ukulele and like singing Riptide classic. And then I got scouted to play at Carfest the year after. And that's when my whole career just started. And ever since then, that's where I've just was like, oh, I can perform. It's real. Before then, I just thought it was like a foreign concept that only like performers perform and other people don't perform.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so that was the same festival as Tom O'Dell. And then all these years later, I'm now performing with, and I was like, well, I have to tell Tom this, and he was like, that's amazing.
Would you like to be my hillside lover, my hillside lover? Would you like to see what hillside love and a hillside love? I just wanna give you all my dreaming. Let us float away into this view. You give all this world another meaning. Sitting on a hillside with you. Would you like to be my hillside lover, my hillside lover? Would you like to see what hillside love on a hillside love? I just wanna give you all my loving, rolling down the daisy fields with you, watching all the butterflies chase through the breeze, falling on a hillside with you. Scared to look in your eyes, hoping you feel the same, and then to your surprise. Would like to see what hillsides love and the hillsides love.
Alpha Sessions.
Are you a big proponent of festivals?
Yeah.
Do you love a festival? I can see you loving festivals.
Yeah, festivals are the highlight of my year.
Yeah.
I can't wait to like defrost into summer. I think I've already done one festival this year, and it was so funny. I think it was like March, April, and I was like, I love it. We're already in the festival season, and it was at this place called Camper Jam, and was it Camper Calling? One of the two. There's like, I'm playing at one, no, it was Camper Calling, because Camper Jam is in summer. They're the same, like, chain, but then they have different things. And there's a whole thing with VWs, and they had this VW there, and it had Scooby-Doo on the van.
Oh, like a proper mystery machine.
This is sick. Because the whole time I was like, oh, this one looks like a Scooby-Doo van, but it wasn't. And then I was like, this one looks like a Scooby-Doo van, and it was. And then I found one, and I was like, oh, Scooby-Doo?
And that was the highlight of your year so far.
Yeah. And I got a picture with the Scooby-Doo van.
New single coming out, Play With Tom O'Dell, but Scooby-Doo van,
yeah.
On the other hand.
Yeah.
How do you find getting into festivals? A lot of people really struggle because obviously there's hundreds of people applying, even for these very independent ones. Is it something that you've just got a knack for and that you've got used to, or you've got a network for, or how do you get yourself into them?
I think, yeah, it's definitely, it's so hard to get into festivals, especially like the bigger ones, to break that like middle to high ground is so hard. And so many emails just get lost, you know, and all the applications every year. I've got like a notes page on my phone of like festivals 2024. And then I just go through them all and tick them off and try and apply. But yeah, there's so many artists that apply for each one. And then as soon as you get a yes, you're like, no way, this is crazy. You applied to me? I definitely think, I don't know why, but yeah, festivals are really hard to get into. And I think once you then play one festival, it just kind of stems from there, because then other festivals go to festivals, if that makes sense. Like on their time off, they're like, well, I still love festivals, so I'm going to go watch other artists and get them to play at my festivals. And then it just always stems. But finding that first festival is, yeah, it's really hard. And I feel really sorry for all the artists that have to, like, constantly. I was saying about this the other day as well with my friend. He was like, I think I've got like four yeses in like a whole list of emails. And it's heartbreaking because you're like, but I just want to be in the field with you.
I know. Yeah, I do understand. But at the same time, when you get that gateway, it does just sort of lead to so many more opportunities.
Yeah.
When you play festivals and busking as well, do you play a lot of your original stuff?
Yeah.
Because some people, you say, stick to covers because they know that's what the audience likes. But actually, I imagine the reason festivals will work really well with you is because your music does just like have that atmosphere of people will get involved, and that's the kind of summer happiness that you need in a festival. But yeah, so I guess you do play originals.
Yeah, I mostly play originals. I might throw in a few covers, but I mostly play, it depends on how long the set is as well. But most of the time, you know, I think ditch the covers.
But I do, yeah, I understand a lot of people play covers for the vibes and stuff.
Yeah.
The second song you played, I would like to talk about, Hillside Lover. It's still, again, like you said, it's got your print on it. It's got your vibe. But it is different. It's definitely a lot different to Chip Fingernails. So how has that one come about? Is that one unreleased, going to be released?
It's about to be released in May, I think.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's going to be on my upcoming EP. And it's, yeah, it came about because, actually, it came about because I was studying media in college, and this is such a weird story, and I was like, how cool would an album be? I was creating a fake account for a music account, so, like, in our media, we had to create a music video and then, like, create a fake artist account and social media and stuff, so I created this whole account with my friends, and I, like, had them film the music video and everything, and I was like, okay, I've got to come up with names and I've got to come up with an album title for this fake release that's coming out. And I was like, how cool would it be to have an album called Hillside Lover or Love on the Hillside or something about that? And then I thought about it, I was like, maybe I could write a song, even if it doesn't go on the actual fake account. And so I wrote the song called Hillside Lover, and it just came about because I was like, I think it would be a cool name. And then, it was basically based on all the Midlands and, like, growing up around the hills and just, like, how nice it is to just sit with someone. It doesn't even have to be like someone that you're in love with, just like your friends, mm-hmm. and just relaxing on a summer's day and being
That's
like,
nice.
Yeah, would you like to be my hillside lover? And then they're like, maybe.
It's a lot folkier in a way.
Yeah.
It kind of, it's more relaxed, but it's still got that kind of calmness to it that makes you feel very happy. So I imagine it will go down very well at festivals this year. So you mentioned an EP there. I didn't know there was an EP. Is that a secret bit of information that you just
it
leaked?
Is, yeah. So it's coming out in probably like September time.
Oh, amazing.
So I've got a few songs on that, which I think it's like six. People are like, isn't that basically an album? I was like, I don't know.
It's getting there.
I don't know. I Googled like, what is an album compared to an EP? And I was like, I don't think it is. I think it's going to be like half an hour.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know. The answer will come out when I decide how long the songs are, and then I'll be like, okay, Googling again.
So it's still in the works. It's not entirely...
Yeah, so I'm recording it at the moment.
Nice.
And then it's really exciting. But yeah, and I've just got into producing as well.
I was going to ask you about that. Do you produce, do you self-produce? Do you create everything, or do you have a team?
I have a team, but I'm just starting to like discover that I actually do have quite a good production ear. And I was like, maybe this could be something. Erica Jean / producer.
Erica Jean.
The
producer.
Yeah.
I think we need more female producers anyway, because they are out there, but they're just not notable, which is a whole other big issue. So track list is undecided on the EP. Mm-hmm. Any title for the EP? Potentially. That's still secret.
Yeah, secret information.
Secret. Okay. Well,
don't want to give it away.
Yeah, we don't want to have too many exclusives. Don't want to go too crazy.
Yeah.
And the last song you played as well, it gave me the same kind of vibe, but sort of a little bit moodier, actually, in the harmony, I felt. And it's folkier again. Because that influence feels very different. What are your kind of influences when you songwrite?
It's a very good question, because I actually think it just comes from somewhere. I don't know where from. And that sounds crazy, but I actually don't listen to a lot of music, which people find hard to believe. Like, I listen to, like, funk and stuff. Like, my shower playlist is very weird. It's, like, just like, yeah, you know. But actually, in terms of influences, I think it just comes from where I want to feel. Like, I think a lot of it is live. I think that's why. Like, in terms of big artists, I'd say, like, Joni Mitchell and, like, Eva Cassidy and that kind of thing. But that's mostly because people think that I sound like them.
Mm-hmm.
So it came from before that. Maybe it's, like, a subliminal thing where you're growing up and a lot of that influence from whatever your parents listen to. But, yeah, I think I just watch a lot of live music and, you know, whatever I discover, I'm like, oh, I like that guitar sound. That sounds fun. But, yeah, Evergreen came across, I wrote it by ear, so don't ask me what the chords are because I would not know. I know a few of them.
Yeah.
And I just wrote it. I remember for some reason I was looking at a box of Celebrations.
Nice.
I don't know why.
No, you don't have to have a reason. Sometimes you just do.
And I don't know how that became the song, but I just remember sitting on my floor looking, it must have been after Christmas, and just looking at a box of Celebrations like, yeah.
Is it like a different personality entirely? Like, you switch off and it's like a different part of your brain entirely?
Yeah, it's almost like a dream.
Like a dream state.
It's like a dream state where you just go, right. Especially like the first though, because it's like rolling over clouds. I think I was literally like, just switch off and relax and just create something. Which is really weird actually. I was looking through my camera roll because I was trying to find like the single cover. And I was looking through my camera roll, and 2 months before I wrote the song, there's a picture of me holding an evergreen leaf. And I did not write the song with that in mind, but subliminally I must have had this evergreen leaf in my brain, and I wrote the song about it, which I found really weird. So then I used that as the album cover. I was like, well, it must have come from something.
Yeah, so you just sort of, you float through life, pick up these little gems, but you don't think anything of them, and then they all stay in there, and then you've got your big voice notes, and everything just comes together.
It just molds.
It just happens.
Yeah.
Well, we look forward to everything that's coming this year. Feels like it's going to be a big year. Lots of exciting things. If everyone wants to find you on your social medias and everything, what should they search for?
They can find me at Erica Jean Music. So Erica like America and Jean like the clothes.
Erica Jean. Well, thank you for coming on the Alpha Sessions. We look forward to Chip Pink Fingernails coming on the 26th of April. And whatever else you've got coming out this year. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Whoa.
floating overseas. You were there with me in all my wildest dreams. Waking up my world one step at a time. You were butterfly and I was bee. When we sailed away, we danced in the moonlight as the ocean was starting.